The Alabama Crops Report Podcast, your trusted information source for Alabama agriculture.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into the Alabama Crops Report Podcast. Got Simmer, Scott, Blake, and Josh here today, so we're going to talk a little bit of cotton. How's it going, guys?
It's going good. Oh, ditto here.
Yeah. We are in the middle of the planting season, right?
We're in.
Or maybe towards the latter part of it.
May 22nd today.
So, yeah.
So, yeah, we're hopefully, I don't know, Josh, you've got the numbers there. Where are
we? So, USDA's got us at 54% planted acreage. I do think that's a little adjusted. I think in North Alabama, that's very true. As we go further south, I mean, we're still putting in seed.
Maybe that counts, that's double counting some of the replants that's already happened.
Yeah, we're supposed to replant next week.
Yeah, we are too.
Yeah, that's the thing with this season. It's been kind of a not a big roller coaster, but one I think, you know, in early April we had some really good temperature conditions. It was, you know, 80s, good sunshine. We had a little bit of moisture, but it was pretty daggum dry. If you were able to catch some moisture, guys planted, and then we kind of dipped down in the middle part of April towards the end. And it turned really cool. We kept getting those rain periods, and guys were planting, you know, we were planting into that. And those are the stands, and those are the kind of fields that we're talking about replanting and kind of concerned about.
Well, the good thing is, compared to last year, we weren't able to get out in the field and do anything.
That's right, yeah.
I feel like this year, we have a long stretch where, like, we have been in the last 2 weeks just every day.
Yep.
Going planting, yep. Going planting. So hopefully we'll get... Most of our planting will get done earlier this year, which we're supposed to get some more rain.
Yeah, I've got – my forecast says it's going to rain the next 7 days, so that's going to push us back a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, I actually was talking to a farmer the other day. He was talking about booking cotton. He's like, I want to book more, but it's May 20th, and I don't even have a stand. Now, he's got some coming. He has planted since our 6- and 7-inch rain event we had – in Autauga County, but we are. I told him I wasn't too worried about it. We are behind the ball. I mean, if we ever can get rolling, we can cover some acres pretty quick.
Yeah, and I remember Dr. Ron Smith last year. I believe we did a podcast just because we were so late and everything. And I remember him saying that we are maybe okay until June 15th or 20th.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That we can actually still plan until then before it really starts to.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it earlier because, I mean, I hate to say this, but generally that July 4th time, we usually get a rain, and it's nice to be able to really utilize that rain. I'd like to be, you like cotton to be, you know, kind of up and going where we can use that, but. You know, it is what it is. We've made some really good yields planting the first couple of weeks of June.
Yeah.
It's just a gamble. We won the gamble last year.
You did. Yeah, the gamble paid off, but farming in general is a gamble. You know, you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So, but all we can do is prepare the best we can and roll on.
Yeah. So what are you going to share today, Josh?
So just kind of going to talk about overall, you know, I kind of gave a little bit of a spill talking about environmental conditions and that kind of stuff. So I've gotten some calls and some pictures and some like, hey, why is this cotton looking like it is? So I've gotten a couple calls. I know I mentioned like planting in that late April period, probably like that last week of April, going into May. And so I've gotten texts like, hey, this stand's 2 weeks old, 14 days after planting. Why are we still sitting at cotyledon stage? Where are my true leaves? What the world's happening? I put out AgLogic. I got all my, you know, I did everything right. What am I doing here? So, you know, and to that I say this, and Tyson Raper up in Tennessee, we're all seeing the same thing, is because of those temperature conditions, we're just drastically slowing growth down.
Yeah.
You know, in a good typical like 90 degree, 70 degree low temperature, you know, we're going to develop that node in about 3 days. Or a little bit shorter. So when we're thinking about planting and getting a good stand establishment in good conditions, you can see stuff as soon as like 5 to 6 days, but usually 7 to 10 is a good measure in good temperatures. But here now, you know, in that under that period, it was going to take about 2 weeks. So 2 weeks to actually evaluate the stand, which comes into a problem. You know, if you're further north, you know, you're always considering your growing season length, right? So you want to make sure you've got enough time to set bowls and mature those bowls out harvest. So that's one of the things that we're not there yet. We're still in May.
Yeah.
In June, we'd have a little bit different conversation on that, on whether to, like, you know, if a replant consideration or that kind of thing. So what are we talking about in terms of, like, heat unit accumulation? So that's the big name in cotton. You got to have heat. Heat just fuels growth. Of course, you got to have moisture in there. But if you've got those temperatures going up, you're going to have good stuff. So to put this into perspective, I looked up two stations I got research at. So I looked at Tennessee Valley up in Limestone County, and I looked down at Wiregrass Station in Headland. So on the week of April the 28th through May 2nd, up there at the Tennessee Valley, over 5 days, we accumulated 45 heat units, or commonly referred to as DD60s in cotton, okay? What does that mean? Well, not technically. We're shooting for 50. In the first 5 days of planting, we need at least 50 heat degree units in order to get that crop out of the ground and get the stand going. So that tells me that we're kind of slowed down in that period. And that's pretty prime time planting up in the Tennessee Valley in that April period to May 2nd.
And that 60, cotton does not grow at all below 60.
Yeah, so.
But it's also not 65 is growing normal, mm-hmm. and 60 is not. There's a gradient there, right?
Sure.
And so that's what you're getting at with these DD60s mm-hmm. and accumulation, because that's taking the highest temperature,
highs and the lows,
lowest of the day, dividing it by two, getting the average.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So,
and that's where that number comes from.
I've studied this
mm-hmm.
back in Georgia. We did. They do a really good job of teaching you GDDs and everything. How does our growers actually, if they do even, use all that? Or if they have to?
Right.
I think I see more people looking at that with corn, where, I mean, honestly, either we get it or we don't. And generally, we don't have a problem getting it.
But they're
it.
Not tracking these heat units or anything, right?
Not really.
So
it's just more of a way of us to assess how cotton's going to grow. I mean, I guess if you were making management decisions, maybe making picks decisions, you're looking at the forecast to see what you want to do. I guess it could benefit us there. But, I mean, generally, we get more than enough.
Yeah.
Well, Josh and I were talking in the truck the other day. I was telling him, you know, the formal threshold to terminate insecticide sprays for plant bugs is not above white flower five plus 350 heat units. So how am I supposed to know when to when does that clock start?
Yeah.
But I know that's about not above white flower two.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So my threshold is not above white flower two. Quit spraying plant bugs. But there are certain things. It's probably more useful, Josh, in my opinion, you know more than me, at the end of the season to focus on heat units than it is in mm-hmm. the beginning, because you're trying to figure out
when
are those bowls going to make it.
Yeah, so you're exactly correct, Scott. So that's the main thing we're looking at, is heat unit accumulation in the end of the season. So we're looking at last effective bloom date. So that's a very key point. And so there are historical dates. As you look in North Alabama, it makes sense, that date is shorter. So you're basically looking at the first frost. When's the first frost most likely going to hit? Mm-hmm. And obviously North Alabama, that's going to hit first than if you're in South Alabama. But yeah, we're looking at how much heat units, you know, in order to make that square, in order to take it all the way to harvestable bowls. That's what we're trying to bank on to figure out. There, of course, are days that are like, well, it'll take X amount of days. But that's going to, great agronomist answer, it's going to depend, right? So it's going to depend on, you know, how cloudy it is, what the temperatures are, what the weather's like, how that fruiting structure is going to mature out. So that's going to be kind of dependent. So like you said, Blake, guys aren't looking at, you know, hey, I got 750 DD60s, man, I'm good to go. Uh-uh, they're going to look at the weather, all right? Because the weather is ultimately what's going to determine this.
And then we can use DD60s to explain, well, this is why your cotton's still sitting
right
there.
So I can explain why, you know, if I'm at 14 days after planting and I'm still at cotyledon stage, what the heck just happened to my crop? Well, if you look back and pull the DD60s, heck, I only got maybe 50 something in a span of 2 weeks. That makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, we can correlate it to something.
A lot of people are probably like me. Josh talks a lot about the rain rock or whatever.
Or the weather rock,
Weather rock. Mm-hmm. You go out and look and the rock's either wet or it's not.
Yep.
And so I go out and look, my cotton's either growing or it's not. I don't calculate DD60s, but.
So I guess, and this is really just a question, I guess that those warmer nights, you know, you talk about those hot nights are bad bad for cotton. So I guess that kind of plays into effect because you're taking that difference in the night and day. If you're having, you know, 85 degree nights and, you know, 95 degree days, you're really not, I would assume, in that formula, then your heat units are not really.
We don't have a lot of 85 degree nights, though, do we?
Yet.
Not yet. You get into August, and it's possible. I mean, it happens. Yeah.
It happens. It's not as common. There's a good bit of research that goes on looking at elevated nighttime temperatures, and that will.
I guess the plant never gets a break at that point.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Exactly right.
But again, you know, like I said, I was going back to the forecast, and I have clouds and 90, 100, 70, 60% chance of rain for the next 7 days. So that's cloudy weather, wet soil conditions. You know, I expect to get some phone calls on more of those pictures you were talking about earlier, Josh, that I'm probably going to say is going to be some wet weather blight that we experienced about 3 or 4 years ago. Cotton's going to grow slow, going to be waterlogged, maybe some seedling disease out there, and there's just no way around it.
But
this forecast we've got.
At least we ain't going to be shedding squares.
That's true. That is true, because there ain't any out there.
And a good thing also is we're not talking about corn, because where every plant
that's right.
come within 3 seconds. You know?
That's right,
yeah.
It's cotton, I think, even if it's a little delayed, as long as it catches up, we might be all right.
So that, biggest thing, as long as we've got enough growing season length to mature the crop, we're okay.
Yeah.
So I'm not concerned right now.
Yeah.
We got plenty of time. June cotton can make good yields. So nothing to be.
Yeah, and as long as we've got, you know, we'll have moisture in the soil. Once we get back to going, we should, you know, that last rain event, like I said, I got 6 inches, and here the past few days, we've had places we were concerned about there being enough moisture to still plant into. It didn't last that long, but we were in such a drought, you know, the ground just soaked it up. So I'm hoping that this, you know, brings us back and gets us at the point where we're not losing moisture so fast.
I was just telling my guys yesterday, we got done planting in Headland. We planted in North Alabama, Cherokee County, Bellarmine, near Selma, and then yesterday in Headland. Man, it still like feels so dry that every time we get done at the end of the day, you're just like full of dust.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I haven't felt that in the last 2-3 years. Like, there were some fields you go plant, you're still all right. But I think that also goes back to there was good moisture, but then there was also some fields where you got like plant at least an inch, if not, you know, to put that seed down.
Yep.
So I think that's the other thing. It's still like there's a lot of dirt on the ground. You know, we don't have a lot of moisture, though, even though we got some rains and stuff. But I don't know. Like, I just felt like that every grower was making decisions kind of based on, like, they should be from field to field and day to day that.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and some weren't because, again, we just had that much rain. Hey, we're putting it 3/4 of an inch. We should be good for a week. Well, you know, I went behind one planter, and he only had 2 row units, but he was not putting them in dry dirt. And luckily I caught it, you know, not long after he'd started in the field. But you would have had 2 rows that took a little bit longer to come up.
No, that's why I said, like, some of these conditions, it's almost like you better check every day before you begin.
Yes.
Like, hey, yeah, my planter was set up for what I was doing yesterday, but today I may have to either, you know, change some stuff.
You might check after you eat your lunch, too.
Yeah.
Oh, I have had some maps from one of our planters that maps soil moisture as we're planting in the furrow. I have had some maps. We start planting in the morning. It's like 55, 60 degrees topsoil moisture. After lunch, it's in 80s. And when you pull that map up, it shows you, like, all this red, high temperatures.
Yep.
For sure.
So, what else on cotton?
Well, I kind of want to talk about insects, because I've battled with a new insect I haven't dealt with yet. And I don't like it, Scott. It's not the green one, but it's
so
a little bigger.
Josh has learned about grasshoppers.
Grasshoppers.
They are now mortal enemies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, see, I was just like Josh, where I came from South Georgia, too, and we never dealt with grasshoppers.
I didn't see them a whole lot.
And the first field I stepped in Central Alabama was sprayed the next day.
So I may have noticed them a little bit over the last 2 years, but we playing cotton with Wendy last
cotton week. And soybeans. And then the soybeans they were week, out there too.
These fields, man, you're just walking and they're like, you're seeing them all over.
I've got an almost entirely new summer crew. And they all probably think grasshoppers are the most important pest of cotton because we've been chasing them around, spraying demos, doing bioassays, just all kinds of stuff. The good thing is grasshoppers are easy to control. That field where Josh learned about them, we went back in there after it was sprayed with the airplane, and it was like, holy cow. I mean, we walked probably, 25 acres across that field and saw five.
Yeah, we could have counted them on our hands.
Yeah, wouldn't have to take my shoes off.
No,
to count
that's
them.
Right.
Yeah. So what's the recommendation?
So we don't have any thresholds. We probably never will. They're pretty sporadic. We just kind of go off of a historical problems. Right? Have you had grasshoppers eat cotton in your field before? If the answer is yes, it seems more likely they will again. If you've never had a problem with their eating your cotton, for some reason it seems like they just don't do it. But B, just run behind the planter, a little Demlin, a couple ounces of Demlin provides good residual suppression.
Can that go in the pre-emerge herbicide?
It could. Okay. It could. Yeah, I don't know how you're dealing with your residual timings there. It's probably something we all try to look at next year.
Well, even if you're close enough with your burn down, had folks at it and they're burned down,
throw
and then
some in
you kind of start cleaner.
And then once you start getting into adults, you got to throw in a knockdown acephate's what we primarily use. Pyrethroids are historically have been very sporadic with their control. They're not hard to kill. You just at the end of the day, it's a risk level. And when you're driving the planter across the field, and they're, as I like to say, grasshopper in everywhere, it's how many can you see out there and go to bed that night and not worry about it?
And then going back to what I was talking about with the forecast, so 2 years ago, I looked at the farm we were at the other day and another one probably 30 miles away. There weren't many grasshoppers out there. There was a lot of plants dying.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you have grasshoppers, you have three-cornered alfalfa hoppers, you got seedling disease all working together, it can make it look that much worse. So right now my grasshopper decision is a lot easier knowing if this forecast is going to be like that. I know cotton's going to be growing slow. I'm probably going to put a little insurance out there on them, especially if I'm going over the field with a herbicide or whatever.
That's what I was – so let's say somebody already bent and then put it in the pre-emerge. How long they have before, like, should they make, like, go back really quick, or do they have some time? Because a lot of these growers are also like, well, I got to finish planting.
So unless you're going to go and, like, really check it, but I'm gonna let him.
I was just going to say, the greatest risk of stand loss seems to be when the cotton's in the crook stage, when it's pushing through. They'll just clip that stem, and the plant never has a chance. And so trying to get it out there as the cotton is emerging or before is the best.
Okay.
They can also, until it's pretty good size, they can chew on the side of the stem and break it over that way too. But it seems like as you get into that part of the year, they go find something else to eat. I think early season right now, they're just looking for moisture. And those succulent plants are coming up, and there's moisture there because everything else in the field is brown and crunchy, right?
Well, that's where when I saw that was because I didn't see them up in North Alabama at all. We planted all these other fields, and they were no-till too, but there was just a lot less residue on the ground.
Yeah.
With Wendy and them over there was a lot of stuff like biomass.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and were just jumping.
And that's kind of the thing with them too is that doesn't really correlate. I've seen some of the more fallow fields have twice as many grasshoppers than the best looking cover crop you've seen. So it's really hard to tell.
So these things, they lay their eggs in pods in the soil in the fall, mm-hmm. and they hatch out in the spring. And so it just kind of depends on which fields do they lay their eggs in. And there's little things like soil type can impact it, water holding capacity. In a wet spring or a wet winter, it seems like they're not as bad because it can drown out those eggs that are laid down there, right? in a drier winter, drier spring, those eggs survive better.
Yeah.
So that helps.
But yeah, this year,
it's obviously it is exclusively a no-till, reduced-till problem. Anywhere where you're turning ground, you're mechanically destroying those eggs. Yeah.
So that's why we go soft.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, later I'll show you a video. You can actually hear them chewing. I've been standing in a field, have heard it before, and I was able to find it and video that grasshopper chewing the stem until you watched the whole plant fall to the ground.
You must have a really good...
No, it was loud. Like, I'd never heard it before, but I was like, that's got to be what this is. And I just happened to be standing right next to it. But, yeah, you can hear them chewing.
Wow.
Man, it's like an Animal Planet documentary right there, Blake.
Yeah.
Things you see in a cotton field.
You see all kinds of stuff.
Dr. Lee has quickly forgotten the cotton jacket. He's all about grasshoppers now.
Well, that was my next question, Scott, was what about the jacet? It's been pretty quiet.
It has been.
It's good.
That is, we think, yeah.
Yeah, I was asking.
It's eerily similar to last year.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was telling down the hall earlier, and I was like, the only problem I see is, like, we're going to get lax. It's kind of like this cutworm thing.
Well,
20 years, I hadn't seen a cutworm, so I don't, never really looked for them. So you kind of get lax, and you're not paying attention, and then all of a sudden they can show up and blow up on you.
Well, they can. My concern is almost the opposite. I was talking to somebody yesterday. I hope we don't get so hyper-focused on jacet we forget about plant bugs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's true, too.
But as of right now, we have found no active populations in the, quote, real world. Some in big box stores and nurseries and stuff, but we haven't found any in the wild. We had not found any in the wild this time last year. So
right.
We don't know if that means anything or not.
So when was it last year detected?
So last year we detected them the second week of June. In sentinel plots on experiment stations, but we didn't get any confirmed in commercial fields until mid-August.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
And those that they found in those sentinel plots never really seemed to just blow up on us either. I don't know. That was weird. That was Dr. Jacobson, my research counterpart's program, that found those in the sentinel plots. But it was really late August before somebody threw that match on the gasoline and walked away and told me to clean it up.
So we do have those plots again this year?
Yeah. Right? Okay. Yeah.
Because I guess this year it's like, I mean, June's here next 2 weeks.
That's right. So we've been staggering 2 week planting date intervals in headlands since February the 18th.
Yeah.
What we learned, Josh, is you're better to plant March 1st or March 15th than you are February 18th. That cotton is, quote, older, is more mature than the February planted stuff. But we look at it every week and haven't found anything.
Well, we're still starting to plant corn in mid-March, though.
Yeah.
So on the same lines of that, Scott, we got scout school, right?
We do.
All right.
You've got the dates there.
I got the dates. I'll read them off just so everybody's on here. And these dates are also on the Alabama Cotton Shorts newsletter as well as our ACES website. It should be on there as well. But I'll just read the dates off real quick across the state. So Southeast Alabama Scout School at Wiregrass at the station. That'll be June 2nd at 8 a.m. Central Alabama Scout School will be at Milstead Gin June the 4th at 8 a.m. Tennessee Valley Scout School will be, of course, at Tennessee Valley Rec. That'll be June 9th at 8 a.m. Southwest Alabama Scout School will be at Grant Farms at June 18th at 10 a.m. And then Northeast Alabama Scout School will be at McCord Fire Station Number 1 at 10 a.m. on June the 25th. So putting that in a plug real quick, it's always good to know what insects are out there, not just the J word or the jacet, but making sure we know we're scouting for plant bugs, we're looking at the whole system, not just one single thing and trying to hone it in.
And we've got you to talk about PGR decisions and management. And
Of course.
Hopefully Simmer's going to talk about sprayer setup and those types of things.
Yeah.
Good overall cotton system.
That's right.
Good cotton system.
At Headland, we're going to talk a little peanuts and peanut diseases and stuff too. So, be the 67th consecutive year that we've had a scout school with Alabama Extension. Longest running program in Extension, Alabama Extension history. How about that?
Yeah,
man.
Even COVID couldn't stop us.
Good deal. I know Aaron's not here. You want to do just a quick corn, what it looks like in your part of the region, or we got about five more minutes or so?
I'm not going to say all over the board. Most people are done unless they're going to put a fungicide application.
What the corn look like? What stage is it at about right there in your part of the state?
Everywhere. I did have one farmer say yesterday that he was starting to see some tassels trying to poke out.
Wow.
So, yeah, we're probably anywhere from a week to a month from tasseling, just riding by, looking out the truck window. I've been looking at more planting stuff than stuff that's already up in the past 2 weeks.
So a lot of it is overlap, no
kind of weed
issues or anything.
Yeah,
I think hopefully most folks got their nitrogen. And
they're either just now finishing up or they've gotten it out. I know of one. Drew was putting some out on his later planted stuff yesterday.
Okay.
And he was finishing up. So it should all be.
I feel like the corn crop's going relatively good so far this year, right?
I don't know.
Why you don't work in corn?
I don't work corn.
Man, I heard you covering corn insects, or Caitlin did.
Yeah, she graduated. She's got a big job now. So.
Okay. But are there any concerns on insects or anything like that? Or?
Stink bugs are the big one, and the best timing there to spray them is right as you're starting to push tassels.
Okay.
Still, I don't fully understand how that ear is already down there, and B, a stink bug can find it. But that's when they tend to do their most damage is right as that ear is starting to form, and when the tassels are shooting up, and just folate, a bifenthrin or a pyrethroid does a good job. And I'd like to say that potentially can be some population control for what's moving into cotton later in the year too, or soybeans. So that's another positive there to spraying stink bugs in corn.
Gotcha. All right.
All right.
Seemed like a good early season kind of update or considerations.
Yeah. We got anything else, Josh?
Did you cover all the items on your agenda?
I sure did. Scott's always talking to me about my list I bring in here. He's like, man, he asked me earlier today. He's like,
paid person, like on the podcast.
Well, that's what I was wondering. I guess this is from the last podcast.
Yeah,
I started to read out a couple of these questions over there.
I think that was Chandler's. Me and him will do a list. I don't know. I got to write stuff down. I can't just memorize stuff. I got to write it down. So, but no, I think we're good. We're getting planters rolling. We're going to get the rest of that acreage planted, mainly in the south central part of Alabama, and I think we're good to go.
All right. Well, and appreciate it, guys. Enjoyed our talk. As always, thank you to our listeners who listen every week or every time it comes out. If there's anything any of us with Alabama Extension can do to help, please don't hesitate to reach out and let us know.
The Alabama Crops Report is a production of the Alabama Cooperative Extension System.